Ahoy there, ye landlubbers. Avast, my name is Captain Logan, and I'll be your guide out on the Sea of Thieves. If you love the idea of stealing treasure, cutting down cursed skeletons, fighting off krakens, and raiding forts filled to the brim with shinies, then Sea of Thieves is the game for you. Join me each week as I dive into the news and bring back the nuggets of information that any sailor worth their weight in salt would desire. You don't have to be a pirate legend to gain access to my podcast. Just search for Keelhauled, a Sea of Thieves podcast in your podcast app of choice, or head over to robotsradio.net or captainlogan.podbeam.com and get ready to set sail for adventure. Arr.
Radio presents
the Fallout Lorecast.
Welcome, everybody, to the Fallout Lorecast. I am your host, Tom, or Robots, and I'm here with Lainey, as usual. Now, my regular co-host, Lainey, how's it going?
It's going good.
Yeah, you've got kind of this new setup going on, which looks really cool. I like your little figures over there on the side.
I do, yeah. I got my little guys up here.
Yeah, very, very cool. So, before we get too into it, there are a few things that I need to go over because big news came out today. Today is Monday, the 21st. We are live right now, twitch.tv/robotsradio. And big news came out today. Bethesda ZeniMax was purchased by Microsoft, and this is absolutely huge news. Everybody's been buzzing about it on the internet. Everyone's talking about, well, what does this mean? What could possibly change in the future? How is this going to affect everything? Lots of big news about that. And that is not the focus of this episode today, because we will be digging into cryptids and specifically the Flatwoods monster as a continuation of the whole aliens theme and getting into the spooky spirit of Halloween coming up in the next month. But I did want to address that a little bit at the beginning of the show and let you know that if you are looking for an absolutely much more well-rounded and complete view of this based on everything that we know, tomorrow on the Fallout Hub, Tuesday, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on twitch.tv/TheFalloutHub, myself and Ken and Dave and our guest Tooniversal will be discussing this in detail. So if you're in the live stream right now and you want to tune in with that stuff, or if you happen to get this episode before that comes out, then you're welcome to come join us and we will be discussing it in more detail. But for today, we are talking cryptids, and for those of you in chat at the end of the episode, I want to hear some of your stories about coming across the Flatwoods monster in Fallout 76. So save those for close to the end of the episode, and then think about it and share some of your adventures, and I'd love to read them out at the end of the show. Let's move in to some background. And Lainey's kind of my investigative reporter lately. She's been doing an awesome job digging into some of the background behind the things that we've been talking about. And Lainey, you have kind of a summary of just cryptids in general explanation of what they are, some definitions, and then we're going to be moving into how Fallout has handled cryptids up until 76, and then specifics on the Flatwood monster. So what do you have to kick us off with today?
So for anyone who doesn't know what a cryptid is, they're pretty much agreed to be creatures that are claimed by some to exist without any substantial proof. And depending on who you will talk to, some people will say that there's more proof than others. Of course, some people who believe they've come across these cryptids might really believe it, whereas people who have never seen them would think that they're crazy, right? So it just depends. Some of the most famous cryptids that you probably would recognize are the Loch Ness Monster, Bigfoot or Sasquatch, Yetis, the Chupacabra, Mothman.
The Chupacabra. That's one of my favorites to say.
These are all like your classic cryptids that, I don't know, if you know anything about cryptids, you probably know some of those. Some people occasionally consider...
I think anybody who's watched like the History Channel in the last 25 years has probably seen one of these shows where they go, oh, is this thing real? And of course, the aliens guy who's like, aliens. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty sure. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, some people consider aliens and ghosts to also be cryptids, given that some people believe in them, but we don't have any substantial proof that they're really here, you know, depending on who you ask. This isn't always the case for people who really like cryptids. You know, there's a like somehow that's separate, you know, but it stands by the same rules. Same thing goes for creatures that come from different spiritualities and religions and mythologies, where to the people who are within these cultures, they might believe that they're real, you know, and these are important to the cultures. So it can be disrespectful to refer to them as cryptids. But
yeah, imagine you're walking down the street in a culture that you normally aren't part of, and somebody was like, yeah, dogs, who believes in dogs?
Right.
You know, you'd be like, I do. I have one, you know, and they'd be like, yeah, for sure. Yeah. You have a dog. Yeah. Like for people who believe in a thing, they see that as reality, and to tell them that the reality that they believe in isn't reality creates a huge disconnection in their brains. Right. So yeah, I can see that would be kind of insulting, and they'd feel like, you guys are idiots. So this is clearly real. I believe in it.
And this actually comes up in video games a lot, even outside of Fallout, particularly with Wendigos. So you see that in Fallout 76, but you also see that in games. You know, some horror games have Wendigos in them, and it can be considered disrespectful depending on how it's approached. So we'll get to that later.
Okay.
In Fallout lore, there are sometimes references to cryptids based on real life cryptids, but some of them are just created, or at least for the most part created just for the games.
There's kind of a spectrum, right? There's kind of a spectrum between something like a Wendigo, which may be considered a real cryptid. The Mothman, which is very much a very popular cryptid. But then there are other things that are just creations of the, you know, the story, the mutations in the world, those kinds of things.
In Fallout, despite, you know, being a cryptid means that some people won't believe in it, just like we were talking about with aliens in the last episode, the government and the military are believed to be involved with some cryptids, even before the Great War. So, right. So like the government, for example, would be before the Great War and the military. But even, you know, after it, you have things like the Dark, or not the Dark Brotherhood, wrong
game. Dark Brotherhood in Fallout. This news just in. The Dark Brotherhood is in Fallout.
I would love that. yeah, the Brotherhood of Steel, for example, is involved with some aliens. And so you see this where some factions or groups of people have more access to cryptids than others, or may even be involved in the creation of cryptids in the game. You also see the way that certain cryptids have impacted the culture of the wasteland, but also the old world, where you have things like the Point Pleasant Mothman statue. You have Vault Tech University's football team, which is called the Fighting Wendigos. You have...
which is a great name. That's a really good name.
You have the Tales from the West Virginia Hills series, which you can find on holotape. And then there's the Grafton Holiday Parade, or Grafton Day, if you do the event, where before the war, there was a fake Grafton monster or Grafton beast. And then after the war, there's now a real one.
Yes.
So cryptids are actually a large part of the culture in these games, which is fun. So it's fun to explore that. The presence of more cryptids, or at least, you know, seeming presence, because some of them did exist beforehand in the wasteland, is that is likely because humans have gone almost extinct, leaving more room for these cryptids to roam and not be pushed out or not have to hide.
Well, yeah, I mean, think about it. We had the over the last, 30,000 years, and specifically more the last 10 to 5,000 years, a reduction of megafauna in the Americas. This is a real world thing. And so as imagine if you were a Viking, if you were one of Leif Erikson's Vikings coming over to the New World and coming across, say, one of the last remaining megafauna in Newfoundland or something, and you saw some sort of giant cat or giant mammoth or something like this still happening to be around, because who knows, maybe there were still some hanging around out there, but most of them were dead because humans had killed them off during the original migrations of the Native American peoples. Then if you had returned back to European shores and said, hey, we saw these giant creatures over there, people would have thought, in today's terms, they would say, oh, you saw a cryptid. Yeah, those things don't exist. That's crazy, right? But no, they did exist. These were megafauna and they were crazy. You know, they're crazy things. Think about a saber-toothed tiger, a saber-toothed cat. We don't have those alive on the planet today. And if you were to describe one to somebody and say, yeah, there's a giant cat out there. It's kind of like a really big puma and it has what are essentially two giant daggers for teeth coming out of its face. Somebody would be like, you're nuts. That's crazy. That sounds like you just made it up. It sounds like a 5-year-old made it up and, this is my new awesome animal, But you go back far enough in time and those things were real. And there was probably a period of time where they were very rare, even to the people who were native to the areas that they were in. So it would make sense that those things would become stories as they became less and less common.
I have a question for you in the chat. Mm-hmm. You probably will figure out the answer pretty easily. But there is a creature that up until 2161 was considered by New Californians to be a cryptid, despite being very prevalent in other areas of the wasteland. Do you know what it is?
A creature up until 2161, New Californians, wastelanders. I don't know.
You in the chat think they know?
This would have been death claws. Mm-hmm. Is this something that we find out about in New Vegas? Or was this in one of the games?
I wouldn't know. So, in terms of region, that would make sense. I'm not sure when you first find out about that. But I do know that because there weren't so many death claws in the area there, to them, they didn't think it existed at all. But of course, if you lived elsewhere.
This is probably Fallout 1. Yeah, this is probably Fallout 1, where it was a rare thing. It is a boss in the first two games. Yes. Yeah. I think that is a thing. There were also furry death claws at one point too, and they were intelligent. And that was a whole other thing, which is kind of crazy.
That's terrifying.
But yeah, okay. That makes sense. So let's dive in a little bit into the bits and pieces of cryptids from the series before 76. Just kind of real quick as a quick overview about cryptids in the history of Fallout. And then obviously when we get to 76, this is where we get the bulk of them. So right. What did we have in the original Fallouts?
So in the original Fallouts, you could consider aliens as cryptids, which you see in a few of the games, and we talked about that last episode. But other than aliens, the only other cryptid you really see are ghosts, and there's only two of them. And so one of them is in Fallout 2. Her name is Anna Winslow. She is in the den where her family lived before the Great War. It's difficult to engage in conversation with her, but if you're able to, she'll tell you that she's missing her locket and that if you find it, she'll be able to pass on. So if you track down the person who stole her locket, you can then return it to her and help her out.
Right. Yeah, I've mentioned this over and over again, but I love how things like this go back in the series to the first two games.
Oh, I'm gone.
Some connection problems. I think you're still here.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'm back now. Okay. Hold on. I'm going to make sure that my roommate isn't hogging the Wi-Fi.
yeah, go for that. So Fallout 3, of course, we have aliens. And then, of course, we have the expansion Mothership Zeta. Fallout New Vegas, there are aliens. They look like the Zetans, but are stronger. And the alien captain is more humanoid, taller, and has 16 times the health of the Zetan captain. By Fallout 4, we have aliens injured at a crash site, and then we have ghosts. Ghosts come back. Lainey, do you want to talk about the ghosts?
Yeah, so in the Nuka World expansion, you'll meet Lucy Granchester, who lives in a mansion that was her family's home that was then turned into a tourist attraction at Nuka World. Lucy murdered her parents. Their names were Morticia and Hannibal Granchester, and was sent to...
Morticia and Hannibal. Such good names.
Was sent to a mental asylum. This is a little bit of a content warning, but she, on her 18th birthday, escaped and hung herself in her family home. Despite dying at 18, her ghost is a child, which is honestly creepier. And the mansion became a huge attraction where people could go and try and see her. But if you try to follow her, she'll lead you to dead ends and disappear. If you're outside of the mansion and you look through the window at her, because she stands at one of the windows, and you look at the ceiling above where she is, you'll actually see what looks like wings. So her shadow, she's lit from underneath, and her shadow looks like it has fluttering wings behind it. It's not clear if this was intentional or just, you know, an accident with how the lighting was in the game.
So, Lainey, what do we know about the Fallout? Or what do we know about the Flatwoods monster?
The Fallout monster.
The Fallout monster.
So, in terms of its real-life origin, it comes from Flatwoods, West Virginia, where on September 12th, 1952... two brothers, Fred and Edward May, and their friend Tommy Heyer, claimed to see a bright object flash across the sky. When they went home and told their family, their mom, Kathleen, organized a team including the West Virginia National Guardsman Eugene Lemon to investigate the area, where they claimed to encounter a nauseatingly pungent mist and saw a pulsing red light.
Nauseatingly pungent mist.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious.
Scrumptious. When they looked for the light source, Lemon claimed he saw a, and I quote, man-like figure with a round red face surrounded by a pointed hood-like shape. And Kathleen described it as having small claws and a head that resembled an ace of spades. Other investigators went to the area and claimed to see evidence of a flying saucer landing, because they saw skid marks and an odd gummy deposit is what they like wrote it as.
An odd gummy deposit.
Right. And I looked into this a little bit more. It seems like, so the investigator that reported this drove around the area in a truck. I think he just saw his own tracks and like something from his truck.
Like he drove through something like some really gross mud and saw his own car tracks. Yeah, possibly.
But he was convinced, or at least, you know, supposedly, that it was a flying saucer landing as evidence of a UFO. The most likely explanation for the lights that they saw were that there was a meteor that same day that crossed three states, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, and Maryland. Mm-hmm. And there was a flashing red aircraft beacon. Actually, I think there was two or three of them visible from the site. And then there was speculation that, you know, what was the creature that they saw? And it was actually just a barn owl.
Reddish face, kind of, you know, barn owls.
The eyes would glow, right?
The eyes would glow in light. The hood around it could just be the feathery shape of the head. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna look up. I'm gonna look up barn claws. Yeah, barn owl. I'm gonna look this up. We're gonna put this up on the stream. Yeah, here we go. Look, barn owl. Look at the shape of the head, like an ace of spades. Right. That makes sense. Glowing eyes. Owls have claws. They've got talons. Their eyes would glow and reflect. Totally makes sense. Yeah. So look at this, and then look at Flatwoods monster picture, right? You could totally, like, you turn the ace of spades upside down, and now you have two big eyes, and I mean, you could totally be mistaken as a barn owl. For sure.
For sure.
For sure. Yeah. So, most likely this was a barn owl. what do we know about the one in Fallout 76? Like, how did this translate into the game?
So in Fallout, the Flatwoods monster is an alien. It's been dropped off on Earth to kidnap humans by the Zaydans, who are just, you know, the most famous Fallout aliens. It's a deformed alien, so it has really short legs, which is why it floats. It has like that bullet shaped casing at the bottom.
Yeah, and you can see the legs there if you get close enough to clip through it. You can see it, and sometimes when you kill it, it'll lay on the ground in ways that you can actually see parts of its body that are harder to see if it's just floating around and you're fighting it.
Yeah, so, you know, if you're not clipping through it and you just look at it, it's like a spacesuit. It has a helmet. It's a purple helmet, you know, like you'd see on an astronaut. And it kind of floats around.
Yeah, in this picture right here, you can see, if you're watching on the live stream, or if you miss the live stream, you look up at the Robots Radio YouTube channel, you can see the little feet hanging down in the little window on the suit. If you look very carefully. I'm trying to find some other pictures while you're talking about this.
So the Flatwoods monster is able to teleport, which you would know if you do encounter it. There's a chance that when you try to shoot at it, it will just disappear. But if it does become hostile and engage with you, it will teleport around when it's trying to fight you. Being near a Flatwoods monster will drive you insane, theoretically. So just being near it is supposed to like warp your mind. I think this comes in a really strange way from that really gross smelling mist in the original Legend. So I don't know, that's translated into driving you insane, I guess. But I mean, if you're in a really nasty mist, you probably would go insane.
Yeah, that makes sense.
If you do encounter the Flatwoods monster and you're around other non-player characters, it can control them in order to fight you, including your own camp's turrets. So watch out.
Wow, I didn't know that. I didn't know that about that. I've come across the Flatwoods monster a few times, and it's always been out in the wild alone. There weren't any other creatures nearby. And in one case, it teleported away before I could get to it. It's like I saw it in the distance. I took some shots. It must have moved somewhere and teleported, and it was gone. The second time I came across it, I think I mentioned this on the last episode, it was on like a hill. And it was glitched. It wasn't even moving. It wouldn't respond to me. Something happened and I died. Like I fell off the hill or something. When I came back, like in its place was like, I don't know, a bear or something instead. So it didn't respawn in that location. Something else was there. But I do believe that I've killed one in the wild before, but it's been a while. And these are very rare. These don't come out. It's very hard to come across them in the wild. You could play for a few hundred hours and still not really run into one, potentially.
Yeah, I haven't played very much Fallout 76 yet, but I've yet to run into a cryptid, and I'm very excited to, which I'm sure anyone listening to this podcast will find out whenever I do, because I'll definitely share.
Yeah, we'll be playing tonight after the show. So maybe we'll run into some cryptids tonight. That would be a lot of fun. But that's one of the things that they've done so well about Fallout 76 is that the cryptids are so rare. They don't just show up all the time. And much of the time, you can spend hours and hours and hours in game and just not run into them. I mean, other than the fact that this is obvious, we have an internet, we have lots of people talking about these things, so we know that these things are real. We see pictures, we see videos of them. But imagine a world where we didn't have the internet. If we were all playing this game, there would be people who are like, nah, there's nothing like that in the game, because they never came across them. You would have like, you know, schoolyard conversations the way we did back when like Super Mario Brothers 1 was out, about like, yeah, on this level, if you go through this thing, you can skip through the end of the level, or you can climb into a vine that takes you into the clouds. And the other kids would be like, whoa, no way, that's really a thing. We would be having those conversations about Fallout 76, but there's the internet, so not really. So, well, cool, Amy. This is some really cool stuff. I would love to hear some of our chat's experiences with the Flatwoods Monster, and Fev, your description a little bit more into why you think the ghost in Fallout 4 is a hologram. I would love to hear that after the break in the middle. So feel free to go ahead and share some of your stories. I want to know if you had any specific interesting interactions with the Flatwoods Monster. And next week, we will be digging into one or two, or maybe three, depending on how much info we find on some of these other cryptids. So we're going to be working through those as we actually next week. I'm sorry. Next week is the patron episode. And then we'll be getting back to cryptids for October, because October is like creepy, creepy, you know, Halloween month. So we got to go do that. So, all right, let's transition to the middle of the show.
Hello there, old chap. Good to see another of General Atomic's finest still eager to serve.
And my middle of the show button is not working. So here we are in the middle of the show. Welcome to the middle of the show. Thank you for tuning in. And thank you, as always, to our patrons. If you'd like to join us on the patron only episode, which happens at the end of every month to talk about whatever we decide to talk about, which we haven't done yet. We haven't figured this out yet. Guys, we need to figure this out. I have some ideas, but as always, I want this to be community driven. So I want to hear what you guys think we should discuss. If you'd like to join us, you still have time. You can sign up patreon.com/falloutlorecast. Tier 4 members get to join us every month that you are a sub to the Patreon. And tiers below that get all sorts of other rewards, special Discord channels, ad-free episodes, those kinds of things. So thank you to all of our patrons for doing that and helping to support the show. It really does mean a ton to us. It helps us do this every week and keep bringing you the content that we love to bring you. Also, another way to support the show would be to check out our sponsors. And we have, and I believe I mentioned this last week, we have a new sponsor, audiobooks.com. Audiobooks.com is a awesome way to listen to books. If you are driving, you're spending a lot of time in a car, you have a lot of time at a desk and you're just doing mundane work and you want to listen to things and you like listening to podcasts, you can also listen to audiobooks. So you can get three free audiobooks by clicking the link in the show notes. If you can't find the link, I had somebody who was listening on Spotify. They couldn't find the way to see the show notes. You can always just message us on Discord. I can share the link with you there. You get three books, including two of the VIP books. And there are tons of good books at audiobooks.com. I looked up earlier this week for the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. There are Elder Scrolls books that are on audiobooks.com. I would recommend checking out the Game of Thrones series, The Songs of Ice and Fire. The books are amazing. They are a lot better than the series ends if you watch the show. So don't hold that against them. It's a great way to listen to them. The voice actor is amazing. He does different voices for each of the characters. It's a really great experience, a wonderful way to consume those books, being as they are so thick and dense. So go check that out. Also, if you would like to tell your friends about the show and help us out that way, that would be a wonderful way to do it as well. And if you're watching on the stream and you want to help support the show through bits and subs on the Twitch stream, that's another way you can do it as well. So we appreciate all the support. Thank you so much. Lainey, let's move to the end of the show.
If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them.
So we are here at the end of the show, and I would love to hear any of your stories about dealing with the Flatwoods Monster. Now, Fev Dweller in chat, who is an old friend of mine from the internet, we're good digital buddies, says here, and if you didn't notice, he's F-E-V Dweller. He's literally named after a dweller in Fallout who, I guess, gets the F-E-V virus. Like, he knows a thing or two about Fallout. He says here that there is a daily quest that lets you consistently spawn a Flatwoods Monster. I did not realize this. I've done a number of the daily quests. I haven't run into this one, Fev. That's really cool. Well, do you know the name of the quest off the top of your head? We have a story from the Mothman's Ranger. He says, one time at Sugar Grove, I went for a quest and I was met by a Flatwoods Monster leading an army of Colonel Gutsies and Robo Brains charging at me. I was terrified because there were so many of them. That's amazing. A Flatwood Monster with a robot army. That's hilarious. Fragile Shark notes here, Dune currently on audiobooks.com. Just clear 22 hours from your listening schedule real quick. Yeah. Well, if you've got a commute, that's like, you know, if you have an hour commute each direction, that's just 22. That's 11 days of listening to an audiobook. Crystal King says, my story, I saw him once. That's the story. Awesome. Thank you for that story. Crystal, always insightful about these things. I think we're kind of running out of stuff. Fev, do you have any other details about the ghost and why you think the ghost is a hologram? Lainey, are you excited to run into the Fallout, to the Flatwoods, the Fallout monster? I want to call him the Fallout monster. Is this, I mean, you've seen pictures of him. Have you seen pictures of him?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm excited to run into anything in the game, honestly. I love playing games, and I love letting games beat me up.
Getting games beat me up. So of all the cryptids, I know you haven't experienced them all yet, but of all the cryptids, do you have a favorite cryptid, like one that you are most looking forward to running into? You haven't run into any of them. None of them. You haven't seen a Grafton monster. You haven't seen a Mothman. You haven't seen a Flatwoods monster.
But I just
a Wendigo. You just started.
Mm-hmm.
Is there one that you are like, well, either, oh, I really, really want to run into this one, or, oh God, I hope I never see this because that looks freaky.
So,
do you have either of those?
So in the real world, I really love Mothman, and I would love to actually encounter Mothman, like, in real life, if Mothman exists, of course. I would love that. Yes, I love Mothman.
That wouldn't
Mothman.
Freak you out?
No, I absolutely not.
Okay.
But in terms of the game, I would love to see Mothman. But I'm actually, like, kind of excited about, what are they called? Hang on, I have it here. This is a silly one to be excited about.
It's a silly
one.
The Snallygaster,
and I'll explain more why, like, when we get to that episode. But okay. I mean, they're really creepy and weird. And I was reading about, like, I saw pictures, of course, and I was reading the description of what they look like. And just the idea, so like the Mothman, I would love to encounter in real life. The Snallygaster, absolutely not.
No, the Snallygaster is disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
Super gross. Okay, that makes sense to me. I get that one. I don't know, running into the Mothman in real life, that's a little bit, I don't know. I mean,
I want to piggyback him.
You just piggyback him? The actual Mothman is like super creepy because he foretells, you know, terrible things that might happen, or he shows up on, like, you know, a road at night and, like, in the dark, and it's kind of scary. Yeah, I don't know about that. We have a few more stories here. My experience, says Fev, was they interrupt my building a camp and blew up my generators. You said this like it's plural. Were there more than one of these? Weird. Okay.
More than one Flatwoods monster?
Yeah. I mean, did you come across like more than one Flatwoods monster at the same time? Because you say they. Sir Boozington says, I was stalking a bear from a cliff once and it was glitchy. Then I turned around and saw my first Flatwoods monster. It's always shocking when they're closer to you than you expect, or any of the cryptids are, and you're like, whoa, there's that thing. Muffins Ranger also says, I have also fought two of them at once before. Okay, so you did run into two of them. I was confused because I thought he was teleporting fast enough to be in two places at once. Makes sense. All right, so Fev is explaining a little bit more about the ghost thing. I mean, it comes mostly from the holograms from Dead Money being called ghosts. I see. So you think that this is kind of a reference back to that being a thing, and that this may also be kind of the explanation for why there's a ghost in this one. I gotcha. Yeah, Mothman's Ranger says you need to meet a wise Mothman, Lainey. Do you realize that there are different kinds of Mothman in the game?
Yeah, well, there's like different variants of every single one. There's like seven variants of a Mothman, but there's, I don't know, some cryptids have more, some cryptids have less. Some of them are crazy. Like the Colossus Wendigo, that one is, that's nasty.
Oh, yeah, that's all the rage lately. Earl, Earl's one of them. Yeah, for sure. You'll get high enough level to do some of that content. Well, cool. Well, thank you for your stories, everybody. It's always fun to hang out with you guys. And stay tuned after the stream. We will be playing Fallout 76 on stream, so you're welcome to join us. We'll be running around Lainey's little... So we should tell people, Lainey, before we go, what we did after last week's stream. You created Hope, right?
Yes.
Because Hope was... The only thing that didn't come
in Pandora's box.
Right. Didn't come out of Pandora's box. But we decided that we would create a gang of new characters to surround you, to surround Hope with things that did come out of Pandora's box. So I'm this pale goth girl named Death.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kill everybody, I guess. That's the way I'm going to roleplay this character.
We encountered the first settler and you had a little debate about it, but you went in.
Yeah, I think mine is just kind of a chaotic evil. Pestilence. Yeah. And worst of all, Erp was there as well. That's Crystal King or Derp's character in game. Erp already is something that came out of Pandora's box. You would know if you took a look at him. He clearly was some sort of disease or something that
came out.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that's what we've been doing. So you guys are always welcome to join us in the evenings. All right, guys, I think that's it for this episode of the Fallout Lorecast. Thank you for joining us as usual. We will be back most likely Sunday night for the patron episode next week. So stay tuned for that. And if you can tune in tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern /2 p.m. Pacific on the Fallout Hub, we will be discussing more about the Microsoft Bethesda ZeniMax purchase thing that's going on. So come back and join us for that. All right, Lainey, thanks for joining me. We're going to transition over to the stream, to the game stream, and we will see you guys next time. Until then, stay safe. And if you see the Flatwoods monster, make sure it's not just a barn owl, because that might be a thing. But if you're in Fallout 76, it's probably not a barn owl, because I don't think those are in Fallout 76. All right, guys, talk to you later. See ya. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Also, look up the Robots Radio YouTube for videos about Fallout and other things. And check us out on Twitter, twitter.com/robotsradio. This podcast was brought to you in part by our patrons at patreon.com/falloutlorecast, including our Tier 5 patrons. Thank you so much to FireWriter for supporting the show. Also, if you're interested in business inquiries, advertising on the show, or applying to be a podcast on the Robots Radio Network, send me a message at falloutlorecast@gmail.com or robotsnetwork@gmail.com.
My name is Brian Burton. It's been 26 years since the bombs fell. And since I've left the vault, I've been trying to rebuild. This isn't the Appalachia that I remember. There's so much more to everything going on. And I promise to find the answer. So if you're out there, if you're listening, just hone in on these coordinates. Remember, there's a place for you at the end. Omega.
The Omega Broadcast Fallout Story is available on iTunes, Spotify, and many great podcasting sources.
Are you an avid player of The Elder Scrolls Online and looking to take your game to that next level? Well, the Red Diamond Courier podcast is here to help. I'm Bob Chachinski.
And I'm DogBark24.
We are two experienced players aiming to help others learn and improve through in-game knowledge and references.
From PvE
to PvP
and everything in between.
There's sure to be something for you in the Red Diamond Courier.
We hope you check us out. Thanks.